Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are back for part two of our conversation about idolatry. Hi, friend.
Hi.
How's it going?
Great.
Great.
It's been like 10 minutes since we, not even 10 minutes since we ended our last episode. We did this all in one night fresh on our minds.
Yeah, it's true. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What is something like you, like, what are you and Matthew like watching? Like when you are at home and you don't have sports on. I mean, that's me too.
It's like, I was going to say, it's like right now it's
not on
football and baseball, but.
Yeah,
if
sports is not on, what is something that you guys like to just kind of chill and do?
So we don't watch anything. Like usually it's, we'll watch TV or he'll watch TV and I'll put together a puzzle. But if we're watching TV together or something like that, we don't watch anything new. We really just watch a bunch of things that are years old. We rotate between New Girl.
Solid choice.
The Office.
Even better choice.
Gilmore Girls.
Fantastic choice. Do you like Parks and Rec at all?
Parks and Rec. Yeah, we'll sprinkle some Parks and Rec.
I didn't even know you were going to say that. Okay.
Yeah, we'll sprinkle some Parks and Rec in there.
But when I think of The Office, I think of the Parks and Rec. And either you like them because the same guy wrote them, or you like hate them. You know, like one's better than the other. So I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but we tend to watch, between the two, we tend to watch The Office more.
I think my guilty pleasure podcast right now, like I'm cleaning and I'm like, I have like probably six podcasts that I have like on repeat weekly or whenever they release. But the one that I have like when I clean or I'm like, I'm getting ready is Office Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
It's
so
great.
I used to listen to that one and then I just stopped. I don't know why.
But... Oh, it's so great because we're like... As we were watching through it, I was like, oh, interesting. Anyway.
Yeah. It's a fun one. But yeah, we don't really watch anything new. I've tried to get him to watch maybe some that I've watched, like The West Wing. And it just doesn't keep his attention enough. And
he should do that.
That makes me sad because I love The West Wing.
You got to like get going in it.
I know.
Give it a couple of episodes.
I know.
It's really great.
So
he'll hear
but
this.
If it's
Matthew.
Yeah.
Watch The West Wing.
If it's not a sports thing, he has a hard time, I think, with long form ones. That's why like the shorter episodes work for him. But otherwise, we've watched like all the like sports documentary things on Netflix. There's a fantasy baseball documentary that he watches all the time.
Okay.
And it's on Disney Plus, and it just, whenever he doesn't, like, even if it's in between, like, we're trying to decide on something to watch, he'll put that on just to have it on. Like, it's just more background noise.
It's just background noise, yeah.
But I'm like, are you watching Silly Little Game? He's like, yeah.
Guess I am.
What do you guys watch? What are you watching?
So ours is, well, The Office is like an ongoing thing for us. So like we're like that with like The Office and then Chuck.
That's the other one that I was like, I really like Chuck and I like to rewatch it. But he was
funny.
Like, I don't really enjoy it. And I'm like, I think you would eventually.
It's
if
so
you give
funny.
It a shot.
It's so funny. So like The Office and Chuck and then, Scrubs.
Oh, Scrubs. Yeah, you guys are Scrubs. I'm also a big Psych fan. I like Psych as well.
Psych is phenomenal. That's in there too. So we rotate through those. We're like, okay, we've watched this, but that's also like background noise for us. We've seen it so many times. Like I can like be writing curriculum and have that on in the background.
Yes.
But then right now, the three current things that we're watching, we, as you know, because you have been such a patient friend, and as much as John Eric has tried, you have not come over to the dark side. We are Star Wars.
No.
We're a Star Wars family. And so we are watching Ahsoka right now. So my daughter also loves Star Wars and she's been dying to watch Ahsoka, but we always watch it first just to make sure that it's fine. And so we watched Ahsoka. There's a show called Wheel of Time that he got me into, and I hate that he did because it's so stinking good. And then Invasion. So like they're sci-fi, maybe, I guess is how you would say it, which I never thought I would like things like that. But here we are.
So, I was going to say,
here we are.
There's nothing about any of those that I'm like, yeah, I'll watch that one.
It's really good.
I was thinking like the most recent thing that I watched was, and now I'm not going to be able to remember. It's the soccer one on Apple Plus.
Oh, you watched Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Also I do fantastic. Love Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso.
Oh, speaking of that, Ted Lasso was fantastic. The only reason I said speaking of that, I was talking to someone at church about Ted Lasso. And then, oh my goodness, where is my husband right now? There was a show. Oh my gosh. They were all in a Silo. It's called Silo. That's the name of it. Kristen, it's so good. I can't talk about it because I'll give spoilers away. The show is called Silo, and I need season 2 to come out like stat.
I will say the other one that Matthew loves, but obviously we haven't watched it because the last episode, sorry, my dog is like yelling because he's in his cage right now.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. He sings. Anyways, the last episode or the last season came out, and then like this whole writer strike and everything has changed it, is Stranger Things. So the last one, Matt and I were dating.
Mm-hmm.
When the last one came out, and I remember watching it through with him.
Mm-hmm. I loved that. I'm gonna finish it. Like I'm gonna finish it. And if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, this reprobates. I will finish it. I felt like the last season was darker than I liked.
Yes.
It was a little demonic, and I'm like, my spirit does not like this.
And that's why I'm kind of like, if they never film it, I'd be okay. Like, I think him and I are both to a point where we're like, we'd be okay if they never finish it, if it never gets filmed.
It was so good. But why do shows do that? I felt like Ted Lasso did that for a little while. Yeah. I'm like, this was so good. Why? You do not need any of this extra stuff that you're adding to tell the story.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. Okay. Hi.
Anyways, that took longer than we thought. We were like, this one will be a quick and short one because we were just talking.
If anything, right now you have maybe some shows that you can watch.
That's true.
Idolatry. Okay. So
what a segue.
I'm so great. Okay.
Idolatry.
Okay, so in our last episode, we defined what an idol is, right? We said that an idol is anything or anyone that begins to capture our hearts, minds, and affections more than God. We looked at the Old Testament and we saw how the Israelites kept worshiping things other than God over and over again. We saw where scripture warned against idolatry in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we said that idolatry is a heart problem. And this has been happening since the garden, right? When Adam and Eve thought they knew best. So it's not a new problem. Often these are good gifts from God that we have made ultimate things. So that's what we keep saying, is that the desire for these things are not what's bad. It's when you take good things and make them ultimate things. And so in this episode, we want to dive a little deeper into the day-to-day practicality of idolatry. And we want to end with, there's really good news for the believer. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually going to let Kristen kind of run a lot with this. I'll chime in, especially toward the end. We're talking about what the Bible says about it. But I think Kristen and her biblical counseling background is really helpful in this. So I'm just going to start us off by saying, you know, idolatry, it's not so much wanting the wrong things, but even good things too much. We've said that. And it's when we've lost sense of a biblical priority. And you even said, you know, the Puritans referred to it as having an inordinate desire, which is not something in my notes. I was like, hey, can you define what this means? Maybe I said for our listeners, but also for me.
For me. So,
also, can you define what inordinate desire is? And so it's not a word that we would just like use in our vocabulary normally, right? But it just means it's excessive or unusual, disproportionately large. So it's like over the top desire, basically, mm-hmm. is what I got from that. Would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's almost like you have these orders of where desire should be. And the Puritans use that inordinate desire. It's basically out of place. It's like this desire should be here, which I know you all can't see me, but imagine if my hand is like low. But that desire ramps up to significantly higher than what it really should be. Mm-hmm. And so that's that inordinate desire. As you said, you're passing it on to me. So a lot of this, especially these next, I think there's six phases or stages of the War of the Heart, is taken directly from Paul Tripp's book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And we will link it, of course. But if you are at all interested in, let me make my little plug for biblical counseling. If you're at all interested in biblical counseling, wanting to know a little bit more about it, who can do it, which, spoiler alert, anyone with scripture that can rightly divide scripture can do it. I would highly suggest buying and reading Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, because it very well lays out how biblical counseling is really intense discipleship. Mm-hmm. That's the easiest way that I can describe it. One of the best ways that it was described to me was, imagine everyone of us on our Christian life is going down a stream, right? And we're all in rowboats. And we're all going down. And let's say Shanna flips upside down in her rowboat. Which is a storm in your life, a mm-hmm. really struggle, you know, those deep struggles where you are just having attacks or whatever it might be. It might be an idol that has taken hold of your life, but it's something that is causing pain and suffering. And you truly come to a point where you're like, I have nowhere else to turn. Like, I don't know what to do with this. Biblical counseling comes alongside of that rowboat and helps flip it right side up. That's biblical counseling's purpose, is to help flip that rowboat back upside up, right side up. And now I'm going to paddle next to you for a little bit to make sure you're going to continue to grow mm-hmm. and continue to go down that path of sanctification. Biblical counseling at its core. And so this book is one that really well displays that as counselors, we are instruments in the Redeemer's hands. We aren't the one doing any heart change. We aren't doing a whole lot of anything more than what scripture says. Well, we're not doing anything more than scripture says. Sometimes it's just explaining it a little differently than what you've heard. But we're just instruments. Mm. So these stages come from that. And so the first one is a desire. And so this is where we would say the term, if you want to kind of think of it that way, is I wish to have a godly marriage. That's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I wish to get married. I wish to have children. I wish to have godly children. I wish to be a hard worker and to do something meaningful with my life. I wish to enjoy relaxation. I wish to save money for retirement. Each one of those things in the desire category is not a bad thing. It's not something that if someone came up to you and said, I want to have godly children, you wouldn't immediately go, that is an idol in your life. Like, how dare you? That is sinful. Mm. Like, at this point, it is where
you would say yes and amen. And I'm praying that with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think any parent that is a believer would say that. I want to have godly children. And so these are legitimate. And this is where, you know, if we refer back to what we talked about, the Puritans having inordinate desires, right? This is a desire, but it's an excessive desire or disproportionately large desire. Like now this desire,
it's out of place,
is out of place, and mm-hmm. can turn into, and often does turn into, a demand. So it goes mm-hmm. from a desire to a demand that says, I must. Now, if we go through that, I must have a godly marriage. Mm-hmm. I must get married. I must have children. I must have godly children. Mm-hmm. I must enjoy my relaxation. I must save money for retirement, right? All of those now have like a little bit of a stronger sense of it when mm-hmm. I say it that way. It's closing my fists around a desire. I can't imagine a good life without this. So I can't imagine I could have a good life if I do not have children. I can't imagine a good life if I don't have plenty of money for retirement. And so I'm in some of this I'm going to talk about, because a lot of times our idolatry causes issues with other people. And so as we get into the demand aspect, it's not only demanding it of yourself. Most of the time it's demanding it of someone else, or that someone else meets those as well. So now I'm entering a room with this silent demand of, you have to help me get what I want. And if you're an obstacle in my way, I'm going to get angry and impatient with you. Most of the time, I haven't told you this demand because I'm not aware of it myself in my heart. Like at this point, I'm not even aware that this is controlling my heart and that that is what is controlling me. But
I have a question. Because I, listeners, am learning right alongside you right now. I am literally looking at her like, tell me more.
I know.
So I think what's sneaky as I'm listening to you talk, what is sneaky about this is how easy it can go from a desire to a demand mm-hmm. and that you don't even know it.
Right.
Yeah. And so now like in my head, I'm like, well, how do we prevent that? We'll get to that. But like
and
in
that's,
my head,
that's the ending. It's
I'm like,
how do I stop that
how do
from
I
happening?
Stop it. Because a wish is not a bad thing. Like I want right. I wish that my kids would be godly children. Like that's exactly. a wish for me.
But if that
I think
comes
those,
into
those words are helpful. I wish yes. and I must.
Yes. And you'll
that's,
see as we
that's
go
helpful
through,
language.
Like this is going to be because I'm probably going to refer back to these. Mm-hmm. Each one of these good desires with this language before it. So for okay. you to hear how it changes.
She's literally like, it's like she and I are just having a conversation. And
it really is.
Here. So I wish. I must. Continue on, friend.
The next one is need. So now it's I need to have a godly marriage. I need to get married. I need to have children. I need to have godly children. I need to be a hard worker and I need to do something meaningful with my life. Boy, don't we hear that. Mm-hmm. Boy, don't we hear that in culture. I need to mean something to mm-hmm. someone. I need to enjoy my relaxation. I need to save money for retirement. I now view this thing that I want as essential to life. Mm-hmm. It is one more step towards slavery to desire.
They can't see my face.
That's uncomfortable.
But I'm like, say that again.
That's really uncomfortable.
This is when I stand up, put my hands on my hips.
Put my hands on my hips.
Reference to the last episode. But yes.
So envy, discouragement, bitterness, and doubting God starts to grow. As we become convinced that we are being denied things we need to live life as it was meant to be lived. So envy, discouragement, bitterness, doubting God, it starts to grow because we have been convinced that we are being denied these things that will allow us to live a life as it was meant to be lived.
So what we're saying is that God isn't good.
Right.
or trustworthy.
Right.
Interesting.
In our culture, the word need is used very fast and loose for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you spend any amount of time on social media, you need this one thing from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You need this one supplement and it's going to heal all of your ills.
Mm-hmm.
You need this one piece of relationship advice, and it's going to make your marriage the best ever.
Mm.
We're constantly being fed, this is what you need. This is what you need. This is what you need. Culture will tell us, this is what you need. So that's
as if
now,
we hold on, hold on.
Go.
As if we lack something.
Mm-hmm. As if God was not enough.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Like when you talk, I'm like, well, we're saying he's not good. We're saying he's not trustworthy and that he's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting again.
So we've gone from I wish to I must to I need.
Mm.
And then these three is where it comes into a lot of times in your interactions with other people. In each of those first three points, that kind of more affected you. And that was more inwardly. Mm. But as those desires continue to take root in your heart and you become a slave to those desires, it isn't just going to stay within you. It isn't just going to wreak havoc within you. It's going to start overflowing onto other people. And so that's where expectation comes out. Now it's you should. So if you're talking to a spouse, you should help me have a godly marriage. If you're talking to your children, you should be godly children. If I'm talking to God, you should allow me to get married. You should allow me to have children.
Mm.
Right now, we are putting that expectation. At this point is when our idol usually affects our relationship with other people. If I'm convinced I need it and you say you love me, then it seems right for me to expect you to help me get it.
Mm.
And this need-driven expectation is a source of a lot of conflict in relationships today. Because we say, I need this and you aren't giving it to me.
Therefore, you don't love me.
Right. You start to see that this thing is a right that I deserve to have. I deserve to have this. It is my right.
That is culture.
Absolutely.
Whenever you frame it, I mean, you should, yes. And this is a right, yes. But I deserve. We are a self-obsessed culture. Yes. And that if we don't, I deserve something equals my dignity or my mm-hmm. worth.
Yep.
When that's an idol and God has given you your dignity and your worth. I'm sorry. I'm enjoying this and I'm talking this through.
That's you really good. Through
that's really with. Good. I'm processing.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So then we move on from you should to in that expectation to disappointment when it doesn't happen.
Hmm.
Whether it be another person or whether it be God. You didn't give me godly children. So sinful demanding and expectations, they set us up for disappointment. So much of our disappointment in relationships is not because really we've been wronged, but because we think they've failed to meet our expectations.
Mm.
And many times, and in my little baby 4 months of marriage, have I seen it of I expect my husband to be able to read my mind and know those things, right? And so I haven't communicated an expectation of what I'm thinking that he would possibly be. Mm-hmm. And that's in a very small way, right? Of how we see this play out, that I get frustrated because he has not met the expectation that I did not tell him I was expecting him to hit. Like, how unfair is that for him? That's mm-hmm. not fair to him.
He should read your mind, Kristen.
Exactly. Why can't he read my mind? No.
Right.
Yeah. And so Then moving to like the, so again, we're moving into phases of the slavery that we are enslaved to this desire. We move on to punishment, which is because you didn't do this, now I will do this, or I won't do this. We are hurt and disappointed in a person who says that they love us, so we strike back in a variety of ways to punish them. Basically, brass tacks, we are angry because we've decided they've broken the laws of my kingdom.
Mm.
At this point, I'm no longer loving God and other people. Instead, I love things and use people to try and get them.
Say that again.
And that is a hard, hard truth.
Say that again. Because we're angry. I think
you start seeing this. We are angry because we've decided that they have broken the laws of my kingdom. I am no longer loving God at this point and other people. Instead, I love things and I use people to try and get them. And this is where, as we were talking about, like I know in the last episode, we talked about children, right? How they can very easily become an idol. How easy it is. And I see this from just the outside, not even being able to live it yet, of to use your children to, like, if when you start framing it as that, as I'm using my children to get the approval of men, like in your example about them throwing a tantrum in the grocery store, you're not concerned about their heart in that moment. You're concerned about how other people are looking at you. And so you're trying to get them to behave, not because of their heart and because it's a step in obedience and because God has called them to obey, but because you're tired of that cashier giving you a mean look. And so you're trying to use them and use their obedience to get that good opinion or approval from someone that you don't even know. So all of that comes down to, if my heart is ruled by a certain desire, there are only two ways that I can respond to you. If you're helping me get what I want, I'm going to be happy. But if you stand in my way, I'll be angry, frustrated, and discouraged when I'm with you. There'll be times when I wish you weren't in my life and you stand in the way of what I crave, so I lash out at you. Again, these are those final three ones where it's starting to overflow onto other people.
So it breaks. It breaks not only vertically, you and God, but also horizontally.
Horizontally.
You and others.
So even if you think of like the idol of, if you want to say like acceptance through social media, let's say, you know, you're trying to be accept, you know, portray a specific life on social media that allows you to seem like you have it all together and all of that. If someone doesn't cooperate with your plan to be able to get that picture or to be able to write that specific caption or whatever it is, that is when it starts overflowing and you can get angry at them. You're like, well, you didn't allow me to do this thing that I was looking towards to give me the ultimate fulfillment in my life.
I think, I hope the listeners hear this and are like, you're not, what I'm about to say, I'm not just saying it and like writing it off, you know? But also I walked alongside you specifically in this season specifically. There are things that you can desire so deeply that can be idols. And sometimes God makes you wait on that so you can see what's in your heart.
Absolutely.
Right. I remember specifically a season. I think COVID was just really hard for everyone. It was, it was extra hard for a single woman or a single man, like single people in general was extra hard.
Yes.
Like I had, I had my husband and my kids in my house. I still struggled because I, I feel like I'm becoming more of an introvert, but at the time I was like, I miss people. And I miss, like, I would go on walks just to see people sitting in their yard. And then you and I, we would literally talk for hours at night because it was just you.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, at that time, you specifically struggled a lot. Being single, COVID had a lot to do with it. And just that desire. I remember fasting with you and praying with you and crying with you and like going through this season. And I remember specifically like where I was when you were like, even if he doesn't, he is still good. And I remember thinking like, that is it. I remember thinking, cause you were like, what I'm basically saying is that God's not giving me what's best right now. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that's exactly it. And God, I mean, God doesn't work on our timetable. We cannot manipulate him by saying a certain phrase, but Matthew came a couple months later.
Yeah.
And I truly think it was, God was like, okay, Kristen, but am I what is most important to you right now? Am I what's most important to you? And it's hard. I think it's so hard because we are human people and we have needs and we have emotions. And it's really, really easy to put that and elevate those things above what God is. I mean, I think just back to when I, like my husband and I lost twins and my doctor was like, I don't know that you will be able to carry a baby. You can get pregnant, but I don't know that you can carry a baby, which is really hard to hear because why would I even want to get pregnant? Like, I don't, you know, I don't want to do this all over again. Like, it was really difficult. And then I had my daughter and I went on bed rest with her at 27 weeks, had her as a preemie at 32 weeks. And that whole journey really came about in me that, hey, Shanna, I need you to reorient yourself to what is true and what is most beautiful. And it is me, and it is not that baby girl. It is me. And so not to say like kids are a good gift and marriage is a good gift and a good desire, but when we elevate those things to my desire matters most, like that's an idol.
Yeah.
Like practically speaking, that's an idol.
Lest you all think that we have it figured out.
100%.
Rest assured. 100%. I learned that very, very hard lesson. And like you said, we don't believe that it's a...
I'm going to say this.
Yeah, I'm going to say this and like God will bring it.
Yeah.
Because I truly do think that, that God had been working on that in me for a long time before I actually verbalized it to you. So the fact that it came a couple months later after I had verbalized it, I felt like I had been wrestling with that for a long time. I learned that hard lesson. And here I am 4 months later being like, but kids, but God, do you know that I'm 37 and a half? Well, not quite 37 and a half, but do you know that I'm getting older and that it's really a lot harder to have kids the older, as if God didn't create me and like knew all of this beforehand, as if I'm informing him, hey God, by the way, the older you get, the harder it is to get pregnant and the harder it is to like,
you know what's so great though, Kristen, is that he wants you to come to him time and time and time again.
Absolutely.
With and but so like I want our listeners to hear that going to him with those things
for
is
sure
not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
Over but, and over, petition him over and over again.
But I find myself allowing kids to become an idol.
Sure.
The desire to have kids to become an idol. I find myself saying at times, I don't know if I can be happy without kids. And I literally just learned this lesson not long ago. Like I've been married 4 months.
Israelites. Like last episode.
Exactly.
How short we forget.
So crazy that I'm like I catch myself and I'm like, Kristen, what are you doing? What do you think the lessons that you learned were for? Like they were to so that you when you encountered these things, you would be able to sail through them, not so that you could go back. But I think, find myself doing that.
Yeah. And if that shows us anything, it's that idolatry is a heart issue. And we have to deal with the heart not the head.
Yes.
It's a heart issue. If we don't deal with the heart, we often replace an idol with another idol. So you told me you wanted to talk about idolatry. I went on this conference to Glory with Jackie Hill Perry, and she started talking. One of the things she talked about was idolatry, specifically this, how we can replace an idol with another idol. Mm-hmm. If you don't know Jackie Hill Perry's story, you can read her book, Gay Girl, Good God. Mm-hmm. She was a lesbian. And the Lord saved her and brought her out of that. She still struggled with that desire, mm-hmm. right? But she had great people around her, great people discipling her. It's a really, really great, great book, great story. One of the things that she said at the conference was really struck me. Specifically, she was referring to like the LGBTQ community, was we can be so caught up in our ideals. Hey, you should not be gay. So I want you to leave this life hit, like leave this lifestyle and go. If you are a lesbian, I want you to go find a man.
Mm-hmm.
So they go find a man, and that man takes the place of God. Mm-hmm. So what we did there was we did not deal with a heart issue. We just said, hey, I don't like your lifestyle and I want you to leave this and go to this. And we never dealt with the heart.
And again, so it's a good thing, right? Like, sure. Scripture tells us that this is a wrong thing. What you were doing, the homosexual lifestyle, the same-sex attraction, the homosexual lifestyle was not good. Like, it was sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're saying, like, a good thing would be, at least according to what Scripture says, like, what a relationship should be between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you said, when you don't deal with the heart of it, you're just putting another idol in its place.
Yep. You're idolizing now heterosexual marriage,
mm-hmm.
and not God who ordained, created all of it.
And let me tell you, if you spend any ounce of time on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, you see it a lot. You see people idolizing marriage. And marriage, don't get me wrong, marriage is a good thing. Like, I could see how, like, maybe, you know, a year ago, if you heard this from me, you'd be like, oh, it's just a bitter single girl who isn't going to get married. But like, I can honestly say marriage is a good thing, but it can't be the ultimate thing. It cannot be the ultimate thing because it just can't, it can't fulfill.
It can't fulfill. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to read this? Talk about this next part, fences, because you specifically talked about putting up fences.
Yes.
I really loved this. So I'm like, I'm gonna let you go with it.
Yeah. So, if you're not dealing with a heart, you're going to replace an idol with another idol. If you just put up fences to keep you from that original idol, whether it be accountability, removal of the temptation only, like that's it.
Just take it away. I will
if
no
you just
longer
take it away. Yeah. I'm not, I mean, use it with mm-hmm. any kind of vice that we might see mm-hmm. and not necessarily an idol. Smoking. Mm-hmm. We just take it away and you don't deal with why you were smoking or what that impetus was. You're just going to put something else into it. It's mm-hmm. why a lot of times people who quit smoking gain weight because mm-hmm. they replace it with food.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what it is. Yeah, exactly.
So in the same idea that with our idols, if we're just putting up fences to keep us from doing the one idol, from worshiping that one idol, and the heart doesn't change, and you don't know why you're turning to that idol, like you don't know the why, like you're not asking, but why am I going to this instead of God?
Mm-hmm.
You will run straight through those fences. Those fences aren't going to do anything, let's be honest, if you don't change the heart.
And how exhausting is that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this, I know I mentioned it in the last episode, but Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. That's the thing about, daggummit, let me go back to our, I was going to look it up and then I forgot. Jeremiah 17. Hold, please, while I look
hold
up.
Hold, please.
While I look up on my Bible. Jeremiah.
She does use her Bible.
17. Yes, thank you. Jeremiah 17:9, which we quoted in, or we read in our last episode. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? The very next verse. I, the Lord, examine the mind and test the heart to give to each according to his way, according to what his actions deserve. And so that ties with Psalm 139, because if we pray to God and say, search me, O God, and know my heart, he's the one who knows it. We don't even know our own heart, but he does. So if you pray and say, reveal those idols to me, I don't care what someone else's idols are. I want to know what my idols are. Pray that God would reveal your idols, and he absolutely will.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
And
why? Because he's a jealous God, and he wants that idol out of your life.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's something we all have to be really open-handed with, because nobody likes to deal with that sin and that conviction.
Absolutely.
But that is sanctification, and that is what makes us more like Christ, right? There's a lot of questions that we can really ask ourselves. We would call them heart diagnostic questions to determine idols in our life. So maybe we can put this in our show notes too.
Yeah.
Am I willing to sin to get it? Am I willing to sin if I think I'm going to lose it? It's that control.
Ooh.
Do I run to it for refuge instead of turning to God? And what we mean by that, I just had a conversation with somebody about this, about Netflix. It's interesting that we started this episode with our shows, but do I run to it for refuge instead of turning from God? So shopping, eating, working, watching TVs and movies, scrolling social media, working out. What is it that gives us that sense of, I just don't have to deal with this right now? Like, there are times when I'm like, I just want to sit at this TV and I just want to watch this TV show and I don't want to think about anything else. What is it that's a refuge for us instead of turning to God? Those things are often idols in our lives. You said earlier that our God was a jealous God. He will not share his name with another. Over and over, he constantly reminds the Israelites of that. I am the Lord your God who called you out of Egypt. It was me who delivered you. I am the Lord. There is no other. And one of my favorite things, I think I highlighted it. I don't remember now. We're so far into the end of the Old Testament, but one of them back there, I highlighted it so many times because he's like, I am the Lord, like over and over and over again. He will not share his name with another. He is jealous for his glory. And so I'm going to let you actually talk about this, because you and I didn't love the language. I didn't love the language. And so I changed it in the notes. I'm like, I don't love that.
And then I was like, no.
Yes. And so I'm like, great, but you have to explain it. And so I'm going to say that God will not share his name with another. He's a jealous God. He's jealous for his glory, and he's not going to let you stay in your sin. He's not going to do it.
And he will oftentimes, and this is where I'll give you a little bit of behind the scenes of how we went back and forth on this, lest you think that we agree on everything every time. He will oftentimes frustrate you to the point that you will be forced to drop your idols and turn to him with open hands and an open heart. And when I say frustrate, I don't mean that the emotion of frustration, right? He does not cause you that emotion, but more of that old school, you know, something that we don't necessarily use all the time. I was just going to go and look and see if I still had that conversation that we had. I do not. This is where.
While you're looking it up, because I was like, so I was reading it, like, the notes, and I was like, I just don't love that. And you're like, and you were like, rightly, like, this is why you have community. You were like, I think you're reading this from a culture, like our current cultural context.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe, but if I am, they're going to hear this way too. So, and then when you explained it, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. So
when I say frustrate, I mean in the terms of like preventing or from progress or succeeding or being fulfilled, like that type of frustrate, like he attempted to frustrate the merger or something along those lines, like to disrupt that from happening.
So God is committed to disrupting or stopping your idolatry.
Yes.
I love
and
that.
You will be forced to drop your idols and turn to him with open hands and an open heart. And there's a portion of this that I did not write out. We allude to it a little bit later, but it's the idea of grace. And it's this beautiful picture. And I will tell you, Brad Bigney is the one who talks about it. And it's this beautiful picture of you holding your idols. And how can you receive the grace that God has given you to resist the temptation to put that idol in the highest place if your hands are full of idols? It's like a kid. I imagine like a kid trying to hold all of their toys and keep picking up. And at some point, they just can't anymore.
But I have something better for them.
Exactly. It's like you're trying to give them this thing, and they're picking up all the small little Legos, and they're holding on to them so tightly. And you're like, but I have this Tonka truck or whatever it is. That is better.
Yeah. I think the last two episodes have been super convicting. Last episode and this one, but we did say that there was good news for the believer.
Yeah,
there's good news. And so I want to talk about, what does this look like practically for us? How we're constantly, it seems the way we're talking as if like our hearts are idol factories and they're just going to keep making them because we were made to worship and we're not worshiping God. And like, it seems really, really depressing and overwhelming.
Yes.
So God in his kindness has shown us in scripture how we can overcome these idolatries, right? And so Kristen, can you maybe just start off talking about like practically what does scripture say that we can do to reorient ourselves to the one who should hold our true affections and our true worship.
Yes. And our listeners, as much as you all have been along with me, know probably how much I don't enjoy Psalms. It's funny that the ones that I keep going back to are Psalms. And this is probably one of my favorite. Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him." So think of what Shanna had said before when we were talking through those heart diagnostic questions. What do I run to for refuge instead of turning to God? Am I turning to shopping, working, all of those things? Scripture tells us that we are happiest when we take refuge in him. That is when we're happy. One of those things is going to God's word consistently and feasting on God's word. It shows us that Christ is the only one who can truly satisfy. And the great thing about that is that our hunger for him will only grow. It's like a well that's never going to hit the end. Like you think. Go ahead.
Nope. I was going to say, we are now in toward the end. Like this next week, we are finishing the Old Testament in our Bible reading plan. And I have found that my day is incomplete without constantly going to God's word. And it's not like a checklist thing. It's that I'm literally eager and thirsty for it.
Right.
So it's like the more you seek him, the more you find him, and the more you want to keep seeking him.
Exactly.
So it's literally like it keeps growing.
Yeah. An inexhaustible desire. Well, it just keeps going. As we grow in our understanding of the gospel, our trust and love for Christ will grow, and he will then become our greatest affection.
Yeah, I think practically speaking, being in the Word, that is literally like what practically we can do is constantly going to God's Word. But another thing that we can do, and oftentimes it's really difficult to let people in into the yucky places of us, right? But it's being in genuine, authentic community with God's people. Something that we say at our church all the time is deep work over time in community. Like that's how you become more like Christ. Deep work over time in community. And so we see this in Hebrews. He says, watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deceptions. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we have at the start. And so it's this idea of like, hey, brother, hey, sister, watch out for this. Like, I can see how this is becoming. You and I have both done this in different seasons of life. You have spoken into me and you're like, okay, Shanna, I think this is really unhealthy. And then you preach the gospel to me. And I'm like, okay, Kristen, I think this is really unhealthy. Let me reorient you back to what the gospel says. We can't do this on our own.
Boy, do I not want to hear it in that moment. Usually, I'm like,
honestly, both of us, if I could ever go back to our text or conversation, I'm like, there's never a reaction. We sit with it.
We're all just like, okay.
But we know that we love each other. We want to see each other become more like Christ. Mm-hmm. And so it's literally deep work and time in community. Like community, those who love and trust Jesus, those who are going to like walk arm in arm with you and battle, want to see you become more like Christ. Those are the ones that you need to invite into your life and they can say, hey, like I can see how this is becoming an idol in your life and that this is not what's good or what's best. And trusting and receiving that takes humility, which we talked about in our perfectionism episode, how God responds, Jesus responds to the Pharisees and saying, hey, he's telling the disciples to walk in humility. And so a lot of what is the Christian life is walking in humility.
Absolutely.
Whether it's teaching, you're teaching through humility, knowing that you're not the one, this is not coming from you, or receiving, you're receiving in humility, knowing they're just wanting to make me more like Christ.
Yeah. One of the best, when I think about genuine, authentic community, one of the best examples of that in my life, not dealing necessarily with idols, but just with a difficult situation that I was dealing with. I was in Springfield at a church in Springfield, and my work situation was not the greatest. And I was struggling so much to the point where I was at a new store and I was not being myself because I didn't want to be there. The situation was that I was moved there and I had no choice. And so I had to be there. But I remember with our small group at church just saying, like, I don't know what to do because I truly do not want to be there. And it's becoming evident, but also they all know I'm a believer. And those two things are not like living in like congruence. They are not the way I'm acting at work is not how a believer should be acting. And one of the best things that happened, that was on a Sunday night, I remember, and it was just a group of single women and are the leader. And they said, okay, let's figure out a battle plan. Like they were in, that's what it made me think of. Like I was able to recognize, like, here's a situation where I am not honoring God, plain and simple. I'm not honoring God with how I am working. And they said, rather than say, oh, we'll pray for you, which I believe they absolutely did. They also said, let's form a battle plan. So what time do you go into work tomorrow? And I said, this is my schedule this week. Okay. So before you go into work, let's think through what are some scriptures that you can meditate on before going in? What is a prayer? Like, make sure you pray before going in. Orient yourself to that. And then throughout that week, as I was going into work, I was getting texts from women in my small group saying, I'm praying for you. I know this is tough. And that was the first time that I was like, oh, this is true community. Mm-hmm. Like, this is doing life. When we say, do we do life together? And I know a lot of people cringe at that, but that was a true way of doing that. And so I would encourage you, that is one of the ways that we can, that is the, like, practically how we are able to uproot some of these idols is other people being able to not only speak into and maybe point out idols that you have not seen, but mm-hmm. also to be able to help you and speak truth to you to be able to overcome the idols.
I honestly don't know how people get through life without community.
I
understand that it's hard. Depending on your season of life. One thing mm-hmm. I've heard a lot, I think our church, my church specifically, is doing really well with cultivating community for all areas of life. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are singles, but there's, we have families, obviously, but there's singles, but there's also like older single people, which sometimes get completely left out because you're in mm-hmm. this weird phase of life. Like, and so they started like really cultivating community there. And I love to see it because I don't know. I would like to say that I'm far along in my walk with Christ that, when my granny died, if I was alone, I would just turn to Jesus, but I don't know that I would have.
Right.
I don't know that I would have. It's really easy. And honestly, I'm 6 months out and I think I'm just really starting to grieve. And so to have those people who kind of come in and be like, hey, how are you today? I was just thinking about you. Mm-hmm. What can I do for you? How can I pray for you? It's really helpful. And usually I'm like, I'm honestly just pray for my heart today. That's all I need. I don't need you to bring me food. Like it's knowing that you're seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so honestly, community, I was just writing a lesson for our children's elementary program at church. And I was just writing a lesson about the family of God and how God gives his children brothers and sisters and how he does that out of a kindness because he knows that we will need each other mm-hmm. until he comes back to make all things new. And so I think oftentimes we forget that. We're like, I can just sit at home and watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I mean, I don't think that's what's best, but I don't care if you sit home and watch it on TV, but are you in a community during the week or in any other time?
Yeah.
I think in God's kindness, he gave us brothers and sisters to lock arms with each other, to carry each other through because he knew that the enemy is here to still kill and destroy mm-hmm. and that we're going to need each other to point us back to Christ, right? And to his promises. Mm-hmm. And none of this was on our notes. So
not at all. I was just thinking, I was like, how are we going to segue back to idols?
Well, humility. I talked about humility. And yes. That's how we're going to do it. We see in the book of James, right? This is actually a really popular verse. Where James tells us that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's like on t-shirts and coffee mugs mm-hmm. and like all these things. But it's really convicting. It's mm-hmm. really convicting. It's not easy. Absolutely. I think humility is against our nature.
For sure.
And that's one thing I'm learning a lot. I was like, I am not really confident. I have confidence, but then like, where does humility play? Like the Lord mm-hmm. is really dealing with me in that. But we're talking about idolatry. Dealing with idols doesn't come from a place of pride or I've got this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Pride will literally cut you off from the grace of God. And we really know, like those of us from legalism, we understand that completely. We really struggle with pride because it was ingrained from us from the beginning. I really think referencing our episode 2 episodes ago, perfectionism is a byproduct of legalism.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pride. We are proud of those things that we accomplish and those things that we do. So it's really God's grace, right? Mm-hmm. We have to do the work, but our effort is bookended by God's grace. You actually wrote that. I was like, really love that. God gives us grace. We take his grace and put forth effort, and then he gives us his grace right back. And that is beautiful and comforting.
Yeah. Like it's a two, like for every 1 point of effort that we put in, God gives two measures of grace. Like, it's just that beautiful picture of there is some effort. And I'm not saying that when we go to tackle our idols, that it's not going to be effort on our part. There is effort and it will be tough, but God gives that grace.
Yeah.
And so if you're not holding on to those idols, if you're willing to just lay those idols down, you can receive that grace.
Yeah. I love that we have really devoted two episodes to this and that we've talked about, hey, practically speaking, you need to be in God's word and you need to be in community. Those are two things that you really, they're kind of non-negotiables, to be honest. Be in God's word and be in community. But we don't just get off with that, right? In order to be like Christ, we have to repent of our idols. We have to turn away from them to know, love, trust, and follow Jesus. That is what scripture calls us to. So I guess I'm asking, like, how would you say, what would you say would be ways that we could repent of idols in our life?
Absolutely. So identifying your idols is a really, really great start. And that's hard, but that's not the end. It can't stop there. As we examine our hearts, we have to keep in mind Christ and the gospel. And let me make this perfectly clear, because it can be very easily misconstrued. We are not examining our hearts for idols as an opportunity for obsessive condemnation. And just being like, I'm terrible. I have all these idols. I'm just like this inward, because honestly, that inward focus is still pride. It is an inward focus. It's not an opportunity for obsessive condemnation, but an opportunity to right our affections. It's an opportunity to turn to Christ.
It's God's kindness that leads to repentance.
God's kindness that leads us to repentance. If you only uproot some idols and you fail to plant the love of Christ in their place, those idols are just going to grow back and bring some other friends along with them because your heart is still not delighted in and satisfied with Christ. One of the best, I won't say the best, a very, very good picture of this that I've heard, and if you've spent any time in the biblical counseling world, you've heard it as well, is the idea of getting to the root of things. And that's what, you know, idols of the heart is all about. It's getting to the root of that idol and what's driving that idol. Because most of the time it is not the specific idol, but it's something a little bit deeper. And so you can very easily picture a tree that has apples on it. And you can very easily pick off those apples and staple pears onto it. Does it make it a pear tree? No. We haven't dealt with the roots of it. We have just taken off and made it seem like it's a pear tree. But ultimately, one, they're not connected to the root system, so they're just going to decay and rot and be gross. But if you don't deal with those roots of it and what that root of that idol is, it's not a pear tree. In that same way, if you uproot that idol, but you don't plant something in its place, some of those root systems are still down in there, and they're just going to be fertile soil to be able to spring back up.
Yeah.
If you guys have ever tried to get rid of a plant, if you are at all a gardener and you think you're going to plant mint anywhere, make sure it's in a contained pot, because it will take over your yard. And so it's that same idea.
The more you know.
Exactly. The things you didn't want to know.
I had no idea. So,
but anyways, if you don't pull them out and plant something else in it, it gives it that opportunity to take root again and to bring along its friends and get even more controlling.
I think of our current culture and how, like we just talked about it with Elizabeth, a few episodes back and how like the cultural narrative is constantly feeding us things, right? And it's contrary to the gospel. There are so many things that's vying for the affections of our heart. So many things. And none of them can satisfy. You know, I think we think they will. They may even give temporary satisfaction.
Yeah.
But only God can truly fulfill our needs and satisfy every longing, you know. Only God is truly worthy of being our greatest and strongest desire. And so when we find our value and our identity and our hope in Him, He completely overwhelms every earthly desire that we want. I think of literally anything, whether it's marriage or children or a job or whatever it is, we think when we attain those things, we'll be happy. And then what happens is we attain them and we're not happy. We're wanting that next thing.
Going bigger and better.
Yeah.
We keep thinking, our desire. Well, there's got to be something else then.
That's right. But Jesus is better, right? Like He is what's best. I think, you know, our desires can't be trusted. We are easily enticed and led astray by our desires. Like we alone, we are not trustworthy when we're left to ourselves. I think of myself. Heck, I'm like, no. Shanna cannot be trusted. Shanna's emotions cannot be trusted. And so like we have to actively pursue godliness. Like it takes intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
We have to actively pursue godliness with the truth of scripture so we can fight against the lies of idolatry. But we need God's help to redirect our hearts. And He's been so kind to give us the Holy Spirit to help us do that, to redirect our hearts back to Him, which is lasting and endures forever.
Yeah. I think that idea of actively pursuing godliness, like, okay, so you've identified an idol. There has to be some action, right? You have to actively pursue godliness. It's not something that I can sit back and be like, well, I identified the idol. Okay, God, take it away. Like there has to be,
I acknowledge that I have one.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
There has to be that active pursuit of godliness, not godliness that we are just putting upon ourselves, but godliness with the truth of the scripture that is rooted in the truth of the scripture.
Yeah. I think in closing, I think one of the things that I want to encourage, because I think a lot of it, you know, can sound really difficult and like Debbie Downer. We are like, but I think encouragement is that, hey, man, like in Christ, we have hope to battle the lies of idolatry. And like in His kindness and His goodness, He has equipped us in literally like everything that we need to do that, right? We have the help of the Holy Spirit. We have the active and living Word of God, right? And so we have that active work of the Word in our hearts. And with the safeguarding efforts of the family of God, there's that community. We need each other. It's only through Christ that we find true contentment. It's it. Like He's it. If I can say literally anything, people can't see me, but I'm holding out my hands and I'm like, He is it. Like Christ is it. And anything that promises anything otherwise will never compare and will always fall short. And you will be continually wanting and never finding satisfaction. Christ is the answer. Do you have anything else to add to this?
Yes. Yes. Because you said something about being equipped in every way. And it made me think of 2 Peter 1:3 that says His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He has given us everything required for life and godliness.
So that we are without excuse.
That when you said that we are equipped in every way with the help of the Holy Spirit, that made me think of 2 Peter 1:3.
I love that.
And what a great comfort that is. Is that God did not just leave us and said, okay, your hearts are going to be bent towards idolatry. You're just going to have to fight it on your own.
Best of luck, friends.
That's not where he leaves us.
No.
And he gives us everything, and he is doing the sanctification in us and molding our hearts to be more like him. And praise God for that. It's painful. It is painful to have an idol pointed out in your life. It is painful. Because I think as true believers, we don't want to have something over God. We don't want that. And so when it's pointed out to us, it is humbling. It is sorrowful. But there is some joy that we aren't just left with it. And that he's provided a way to be able to overcome it and to put God in his rightful spot.
That's right. Which is at the center of it all. Right? Prayer, his word, and deep community. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right.
These were long episodes. This is why we couldn't do it both in one. Because we kicked around the idea. We're like, can we do this all in one? Do you guys want to sit for a 3-hour podcast?
Because
I don't think so.
No. Well, I hope this has been convicting, because it's convicted us. So I hope
I was going to say it's been convicting me. So even if it doesn't convict y'all, it convicted me.
I hope it's been convicting, but I also hope that you have found that, man, God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness, everything. But you have to take those actions and step into it and say, God, I want you to be the center, and I want you to be what is most valuable to me over everything else. If I lost everything else and I had you, that's enough. And that's really hard for us.
It's really hard.
Which is why we need community. Yeah. Hey, I love you. And I'm glad that you're my community, not all my community. We both have other communities, but
we do.
You are a part of my, you are a central part of my community. And I'm thankful that you are here, and I can count on you to point out my idols.
Yes, we point each other's idols out, and that is good, as painful as it sometimes is. Yeah. It is good, and I'm thankful for it.
That's right.
Well, friends, until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.